This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Did you know that right now, GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit GEICO.com to learn more.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Progress remains a struggle. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka, on this Monday, August 3rd. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Weekend negotiations have failed to produce an agreement on more coronavirus relief aid, including an extension of the $600 a week unemployment benefit.
Microsoft has resumed talks to acquire the U.S. operations of TikTok, the video sharing app owned by a Chinese company.
Florida has been spared the worst of Isaias, with an earlier hurricane warning replaced with a tropical storm. Warning.
And the business owners tapping personal funds to help survive the pandemic lockdowns.
I think for small business owners, they really are so intertwined here. So I think that, you know, whether it's your money or your energy or your passion or just all these things are so intertwined. And I feel bad for these businesses. They're going through a tough time, but I also really admire how hard people are working and how they're really just trying everything to make it work.
Ted Rossman at creditcards.com on where small business owners are turning for emergency cash during the coronavirus outbreak. Weekend negotiations have not produced an agreement in Congress over replacing the $600 a week enhanced unemployment benefit that expired Friday. The talks, part of a broader coronavirus relief package, left Republicans and Democrats at odds over how to help struggling Americans. House Democrats, led by Speaker Nancy Pelosi, want a long-term extension of jobless funds.
We are unified in our support for the $600. They are in disarray.
She was on ABC's This Week. Senate Republicans, meanwhile, want to trim that additional payment, saying in some cases people are being paid more to stay at home. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin on the same program.
We proposed a one-week extension at $600 so that while we negotiate a longer-term solution, at least all those people don't lose their money. And I'm surprised that the Democrats won't agree to that.
Senate Republicans have also offered to continue the unemployment benefit through September at $200 a week. The House, meanwhile, passed a bill weeks ago extending the $600 through January. Well, the U.S. economy suffered its worst collapse ever during the coronavirus shutdowns in the second quarter, and while the report was expected, it's added pressure on negotiators in Washington to reach a deal on another round of emergency federal aid for businesses and tens of millions of unemployed workers. Could there be action this week? We're joined now by Dave Boyer, White House correspondent at the Washington Times. Dave, what's the scene right now?
The talks are continuing, but White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows came out to the press room podium, which he hardly ever does, just to complain that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are giving them nothing in the way of negotiations. They're not making any counteroffers on unemployment benefits or eviction notices or anything else, pretty much. And so he said, you know, the White House is very frustrated. The talks will continue, but nothing will happen.
Boy, and so kind of the he said, she said continues because Democrats are complaining that the Senate, for example, could have started discussing this weeks ago, right?
Right. And there is, you know, some validity to that argument. I mean, you remember White House officials and Senate Republicans saying back in May and June, well, let's just wait a little while longer. We need to pause right now because they were, I think, hoping, obviously, that the economy with employers would rebound very quickly, the virus would continue to diminish, but that hasn't happened. I mean, the economy has rebounded, employers are hiring again, but as we know, the virus in many states is surging, and there are some states that are rolling back their openings a little bit, and the unemployment claims in the past 2 weeks have actually risen for benefits slightly, so, and it's still over a million people a week in that regard. So there is this is all adding to the urgency get something done, but whether it's going to be a, you know, $3 trillion package that the White House and most Republicans on the Hill oppose from the Democrats or something less than that, it remains to be seen.
We're speaking with Dave Boyer, White House correspondent at The Washington Times. How come the minority leader, Senator Schumer, blocked, I think what described as an exercise by Senator Martha McSally to kind of extend the current benefits?
Well, he called it a stunt, but I think Chuck Schumer really knows is if the Republicans are now willing to accept extension of the $600 a week federal unemployment benefit for 1 week, they're probably going to cave and give the Democrats a much longer extension. So that's what the Democratic leaders are holding out for. Now we're hearing that the White House has made an offer of $600 a week for 4 months, which would take us pretty much through the election. And the Democrats even rejected that because they want to go into next year with these enhanced unemployment benefits. So it seems like the Democratic leaders feel like they're, you know, as Mark Meadows even said, they think they hold all the cards and they're not bargaining with us right now.
All right. So one of the proposals, too, was sort of like a scaling down, right? It was $600 a week for several weeks, then it would drop to 400, right? Then like 80% of previous wage.
Right. Yeah, and the Democrats don't seem to be interested in that. I think they feel like they can get the full $600 almost indefinitely in this election season, and it seems pretty clear the White House wants to do something, that they don't want to just walk away from the table. Again, it's an election year. There are, you know, upwards of 20 million people who are still out of work. So the feeling is that something's going to happen in the next week or 10 days, but how that's going to shake out, I just don't know yet.
Yeah. Is each side eager for a win, Dave, at this point, or is each side eager to not allow the other side to have a win? I don't know how this works.
Yeah, no. At the moment, it sounds a lot like each side is just interested in blaming the other side and avoiding getting the political blame in case the whole deal falls through. I say deal. There is no deal at this point, but in case nothing happens, that, you know, they're inoculating themselves to the political blame. But there is still this undercurrent of we want to get something done. Otherwise, they wouldn't. I mean, they're going to be, the White House and the Democrats are going to be negotiating and talking all through the week, apparently, and they wouldn't be doing that if they weren't really interested in trying to do something.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Boyer, White House correspondent at The Washington Times. Microsoft has announced in a blog post that it plans to move forward with plans to buy the U.S. operations of TikTok, the video sharing app owned by a Chinese company called ByteDance. Meanwhile, weeks of talks, including U.S. with U.S. government officials, were almost trampled by a last-minute intervention by President Trump, who expressed opposition on Friday. He said he preferred an outright ban of the app. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was on Fox News.
These Chinese software companies doing business in the United States, whether it's TikTok or WeChat, there are countless more, as Peter Navarro said, are feeding data directly to the Chinese Communist Party, their national security apparatus.
In yesterday's blog post, Microsoft said it would ensure that the data of American TikTok users is transferred to the U.S., where it would remain. Microsoft said TikTok operations under its ownership would build on the popular user experience while adding privacy and security protections. This, by the way, would give Microsoft a major competitor to Facebook and Snapchat.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Dell supports America's entrepreneurs during Small Business Month with all you need to office anywhere. Save up to 45% on computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10. Plus, save on top-brand tech while enjoying free shipping on everything. And special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the tech that's just right. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. Tropical storm Isaias is presenting less of a threat to Florida than initially feared, even though the storm is still swirling off the coast with gusts of more than 70 miles an hour. The National Hurricane Center says Isaias is no longer forecast to regain hurricane strength, meaning Florida will avoid the troubling scenario of grappling with the damage from a hurricane while in the midst of being pounded by the coronavirus pandemic. The National Weather Service says Isaias is still forecast to move north toward the Carolinas and potentially make landfall there tonight, causing high winds and threatening, potentially life-threatening flash flooding over the Carolinas. Here's North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper.
Just because it's now categorized as a tropical storm doesn't change its potential threat.
Isaias is expected to reach the mid-Atlantic today or tomorrow as it moves north. In addition, dangerous storm surge is possible from Edisto Beach, South Carolina, to Cape Fear, North Carolina. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Rasa Kay.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Assistant Health and Human Services Secretary Admiral Brett Girouard told NBC's Meet the Press there's no evidence the drug heavily promoted by President Trump works on COVID-19.
At this point in time, there's been 5 randomized control, placebo-controlled trials that do not show any benefit to hydroxychloroquine. So at this point in time, we don't recommend that as a treatment. There's no evidence to show that it is.
Number two.
The pressure's on Congress to push through another round of stimulus spending, renewing or reducing a key benefit of an extra $600 per week in assistance for jobless Americans is a major point of contention. The House is on recess this week, though House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is staying in D.C. for ongoing coronavirus stimulus negotiations.
Number three.
Astronauts Doug Hurley and Bob Behnken being debriefed after an historic flight. They splashed down in the Gulf of Mexico yesterday, ending SpaceX's first crewed trip to the International Space Station for NASA and the beginning of NASA's next phase in exploration marked by partnerships with private companies.
We are entering a new era of human spaceflight where NASA is no longer the purchaser, owner, and operator of all the hardware. We are going to be a customer.
NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine. More than 1,000 Southern California firefighters and multiple aircraft have been working since Friday on the Apple Fire, threatening thousands of homes in Riverside and San Bernardino counties east of L.A. Captain Richard Cordova is with Cal Fire.
I can anticipate, you know, at least in the next few days are going to be critical for the firefighters. And I would anticipate us being out here for at least the next week.
The massive blaze ignited as 2 smaller fires that merged and grew over the weekend. 3 people are in the hospital after a shooting outside a gas station in Tampa early Sunday morning. 9/11 callers reported gunfire after an altercation. When deputies arrived, they found about 250 people gathered there, but not a single witness is cooperating. And deputies are hoping someone at the scene steps up with some information. A massive search and rescue operation for 7 Marines and a Navy sailor after a training accident off the California coast has been halted. All are presumed dead. 15 service members in a routine training exercise off San Clemente when their amphibious assault vehicle sank. And Taylor Swift has notched her 7th number one album on the Billboard 200 albums chart. Released with little advance notice on July 24th, Folklore enjoyed the biggest week for any album since Swift's last one last year.
T-Swift fans, snap it up. Thank you, Rasa. 23 minutes now after the hour. Thanks for being with us. More than a third of small business decision makers say they or the business owners have dipped into their personal funds to keep their businesses afloat during the COVID-19 pandemic. It's a survey by creditcards.com where Ted Rossman is an industry analyst. Ted, put the 35% number in perspective.
You know, at first I was really shocked by it. I thought it was a really high number. And then the more I thought about it, you know, for better or for worse, when you're a small business owner, you really are intertwined with your personal finances. You know, your business is so much of your life, your passion, your money. Even most small business credit cards actually require a personal guarantee. You know, we talk about with workers who work for a company, you know, you don't want to put all of your 401k in company stock, right? But I think for small business owners, they really are so intertwined here. So I think that, you know, whether it's your money or your energy or your passion or just all these things are so intertwined. And I feel bad for these businesses. They're going through a tough time, but I also really admire how hard people are working and how they're really just trying everything to make it work.
Yeah. All right. So how are they doing it? Kind of break down that 35% of personal savings accounts and credit cards.
It's a mix. We found that 24% are using personal credit cards. 21% are tapping into personal savings. 10% did both. So that's where we get that 35% using personal funds. We also found 30% opening a Paycheck Protection Program loan. We found more than a third accessing either business savings or business credit cards combined. 10% took out another type of loan. Businesses are definitely trying to get creative here.
We're speaking with Ted Rossman, industry analyst at creditcards.com. They've done a new survey that finds over 1 in 3 small businesses are relying on personal funds during this pandemic. I think the scary thing, and I think it's probably obvious to say, is that there's no guarantee that any of this will help them survive.
That's what I'm worried about. And, you know, at first we talked about the sheer speed of this crisis and just how quickly everything locked down back in March. But what I think we're seeing now, unfortunately, is that it wasn't just fast, it's persistent too. And that we've seen very elevated unemployment claims. Weekly initial jobless claims have been over 1 million now every single week since March. And we just see this continue to go on and on. And I think that, you know, some of what we're seeing is a resurgence in the virus in some places and, you know, increased restrictions and lockdowns. But I also think we're seeing a cumulative effect and that some places that they were managing for a while, you know, now the weight of this is really starting to hit them. And at the individual level, we're starting to see the stimulus wear off. At the business level, too, you know, some people have burned through their PPP funds. And you know, I'm hopeful that Congress and the administration can come through with some more stimulus because I really think that it's needed and businesses are going to need some more help to get by.
Thanks, Ted. Ted Rossman, industry analyst at creditcards.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Let me tell you about my new favorite way to pass the time while commuting. It's the app called Blinkist. Blinkist works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books and whittles it down to just 15 minutes. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading self-improvement books. I just finished listening to Snowball, a Warren Buffett biography. Listen to Blinkist while commuting or maybe exercising, even while you're waiting for your kids to finish practice. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read. I also like listening to some of the history titles since I never had much good history in school. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/morning.
Start your day smarter. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Monday, August 3rd. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: nothing firm on extending weekly federal jobless benefits. Talks resume today. Florida spared as tropical storm Isaias targets the Carolinas. More than 32 square miles of Southern California scorched by wildfire, threatening homes in Riverside and San Bernardino counties. The new Google phone, the Pixel 4a, debuts today. The luxury department store Lord & Taylor files for bankruptcy. And the diehards who continue the nightly salute to healthcare workers with their homemade music. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, a slew of dismal summer polls and a persistent fundraising gap have left some Republicans fretting about this scenario in November, that they'll fall further into the House minority. Here's the scenario from Ali Mutnick, House campaigns reporter at Politico. Ali, what are you hearing?
So I think Republicans are becoming increasingly worried that Trump's toxicity, especially in the suburbs, could endanger seats that used to be pretty reliably Republican. I think they started off the cycle thinking, you know, 2018 is rock bottom for us. They lost 40 seats. And now people are sort of realizing, well, there's actually still room to fall.
All right. So as you said in the story, kind of this is at this point far from going on offense. Now it's more like a retrench.
Yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily that Republicans are going to lose, you know, 20 seats. That's kind of unlikely. But I think the idea is that, you know, after that they could lose seats after losing 40 in the midterm says a lot about the environment. It's not really getting better. And if they're defending seats, you know, that should be reliably Republican, that Trump won by a sizable margin in 2016, then they're going to have trouble ousting Democrats.
All right. So what do some of these internal Democratic surveys show?
Yeah. So Democrats have pushed out a lot of polling in some pretty red districts like Indiana, Georgia, Texas, seats that Trump won really sizably in 2016, where it's now it looks like a really tight congressional race. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win those seats, but if we're talking about seats that are so Republican being in play, then it just has big implications for, you know, whether or not Republicans can come out of the minority.
Right. Which ones, for example, which of those seats kind of really raising eyebrows now that are suddenly in play?
Well, I think there's a lot of different tiers to seats that aren't in play, and everyone would sort of fight you on, you know, is this really competitive? Is this, you know, coming online fully yet? But I think, you know, Texas looks really, really ripe for the Democrats. They have a lot of open seats there, a lot of Republican incumbents who retired, and those are places where Trump is a lot less popular than Mitt Romney was, say, in 2012, in those suburbs of Dallas or Houston, Austin.
We're speaking with Ali Mutnick, House campaigns reporter at Politico. Her piece is called Republicans Suddenly Sweating, Falling Deep into House Minority. Explain fundraising at this point, too. Who's got what? And I don't know, where's momentum?
Yeah, I mean, fundraising is a big part of this because Democrats have such a big money advantage that they can afford to go on offense. What we saw in the 2018 midterms when Democrats took back the House is that the Democratic candidates, many of whom are now freshman members of Congress, were raising millions and millions of dollars through, you know, online fundraising platforms. And Republicans had hoped that was an anomaly in 2018. It's not. The freshman members are still raising a ton of money, and the challengers are raising a ton of money. There were 33 Republican incumbents who were outraised by a Democrat last quarter. You know, not all of those obviously are competitive seats, but that's a really ominous sign for where the momentum is behind the Democrats.
I think one of the things I think that a lot of folks have pointed out is that, as you suggest in the story, recent polling suggests Republicans have major problems in Texas. Is that in a lot of areas? Or what's happening?
Yeah, honestly, everywhere in the Texas suburbs is looking a little shaky for Republicans. And I think in a lot of these districts, and as I was mentioning before, Trump is just not as popular a Republican candidate. In Texas, there are a lot of George Bush Republicans, there are a lot of Mitt Romney Republicans, and they're uneasy with sort of the rhetoric and the tone that Trump has projected, you know, particularly as we've entered this kind of coronavirus crisis.
How about, as you referenced in the story, kind of Republicans hoping to lean on Kevin McCarthy for some help?
Yeah, I think there's just sort of a tension over strategy here because we are early. It is early, you know, fairly early in the cycle. There's still 3 months, which is a long time in election timeframes. But, you know, publicly, McCarthy and House Republicans are saying, you know, the majority is in reach. We're going on offense. And there are some incumbents who are concerned that, you know, if the party is playing too much offense, they risk leaving them, you know, unprotected or open seats unprotected. And they don't want attention to be diverted to their detriment.
Mm. What could change things, like some sort of noticeable or tangible bounce in the economy or a vaccine for the coronavirus, those types of things?
So Republicans, so there are, you know, a good number of Republican strategists who say they're not worried because the closer you get to an election, you know, the more things tighten. So Trump really needs to improve his standing in the polls, and because these down ballot races are so tied to the presidential, you know, they'll rise and fall with him. So if Trump can tighten the race, as a lot of people expect he will, as, you know, the candidates get out and start debating, as we get closer to the presidential election, you know, that could certainly bring a turn in fortune for Republicans.
Thanks, Ali. Ali Mutnick, House campaigns reporter at Politico. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. The T-shirt is a menswear staple. Unfortunately, the basic tee we love has its issues, right? Shrinkage, bacon neck, fading, and stretching, to name a few. But the modern take on the classic T-shirt from Cuts Clothing has completely changed the game. With their amazingly soft, custom-engineered Pika Pro fabric, Cuts T-shirts have an athletic, tailored-looking fit that's comfortable anywhere, from a day in the office to a night on the town, and everything in between. I have to say, I love my Cuts T-shirts. I've worn them casually with shorts and sandals, but also under my suit jacket in more professional settings. They're one of the most comfortable, durable, and fashionably flexible shirts I've ever owned. Plus, they're pre-shrunk, wrinkle-free, and hold their shape over time, no matter what style you prefer. That's why Cuts is the only shirt worth wearing. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. Again, cutsclothing.com/Gordon. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. Time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know that the Walt Disney Company owns a lot of things, but they aren't responsible for sending us tax refund checks just yet. This warning to Rhode Island residents and business owners, some of whom were set to receive tax refund checks signed by the late Walt Disney and his cartoon creation Mickey Mouse, rather than the state treasurer and controller. The Rhode Island Division of Taxation uses those signatures on test files, which were mistakenly printed on the real checks and sent out last week. The checks were tax refunds for corporate sales and tax credits, mostly to businesses. The tax division has voided the checks and will issue new checks, signed by the much less famous General Treasurer Seth Magaziner and State Controller Pete Keenan within a week.
That's too bad.
Yeah. I wonder if any of those, you know, got through, if anybody tried to take those to the bank.
Yeah.
You know, maybe someone wasn't paying attention. Yeah. Who knows?
Did they come stamped with, like, the ears and everything on there?
Yeah. So if it came with a free pair of the mouse ears or what.
Oh, boy, that's tricky.
And once our friends in Rhode Island finally cash those checks, they would be wise not to follow in the footsteps of one Korean person who took money laundering a little too literally. According to the AP, the unidentified man or woman living near Seoul placed an unspecified amount of 50,000 won bills, equivalent to about $42 each, in a washing machine earlier this year to remove possible traces of the coronavirus. Some of the money was seriously damaged, and the person reached out to the Bank of Korea to find out whether they could be exchanged for new bills. A bank official says that under bank rules, they were able to exchange 507 of the bills at half value. The cash was reportedly given to the person as condolences following a funeral. The incident comes after another from earlier this year, where bank officials say another Korean citizen tried to microwave their bills, also due to virus concerns, and also damaged thousands of dollars worth of cash in the process.
I believe I remember you doing that story also.
Well, that was actually a whole different story, because I remembered that as well. I think that was from China, if I remember correctly.
Microwaving of bills?
I think that might have been from China, this might have been even a second incident of microwaving of bills, this time in Korea.
It was
weird. When I was on vacation last week, I handled money for the first time in months. Yeah. I mean, since March, I got some cash and I almost didn't know what to do with it. I almost was trying to get rid of it in places because I just didn't want to have it anymore. I'm not used to having it around. I'm not used to handling it. It's so weird how our habits can change so quickly in just a couple of months.
Did you turn around and hand it to folks who were in, say, a coffee shop with you? Here, I don't know what to do with this. Take this $5.
Yeah, I didn't go quite that far, but I was doing my best. Once I had it, I was doing my best to get rid of it. Like, I wasn't using my car. I was like, I just don't want to be carrying all of this on me. It was falling out of my wallet into my pocket and stuff. I just don't know what it's like to have cash on me like that anymore.
That's funny. It is weird, because I have paid for a couple of smaller transactions with cash. Like, there's a convenience store near me, you know, that wants the $10 minimum. So I try to be good about it. So I used cash, and you get the change back, and I immediately kind of, you know, stick in my wallet and then wipe my hands on my pants before I can get to the sanitizer in my car. It's weird.
Right. That was the other thing. I also had a bunch of coins too for the first time. I don't know how. I can't remember the last time I had coins in my pocket. Yeah, so I got to figure out what to do. Somebody's going to want those. As we know, there's a shortage. So.
You're a man in high demand if you have coins. Yes. Get coin guy.
Highest bidder right here.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Dell supports America's entrepreneurs during Small Business Month with all you need to office anywhere. Save up to 45% on computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10. Plus, save on top-brand tech while enjoying free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the tech that's just right. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit Dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
As you get back to business, small things can make a big difference. Like marking safe distances with floor tape and posting reminders to wash hands. As always, Grainger is here to help. Offering supplies and solutions for every industry. Free access to product specialists, 24/7 support, safety recovery guides, and more. It's part of our commitment to help you adapt and recover in these challenging times. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for being with us. Who gets to be first in line for a COVID-19 vaccine? The Associated Press says U.S. health authorities hope by late next month to have some draft guidance on how to ration initial doses, but it's a vexing decision. Traditionally, first in line for a scarce vaccine are health workers and the people most vulnerable to the targeted infection. But Dr. Francis Collins, director of the National Institutes of Health, tossed new ideas into the mix. He said, consider geography and give priority to people where an outbreak is hitting hardest. And he says, don't forget volunteers in the final stage of vaccine testing who get dummy shots. That's the comparison group needed to tell if the real shots truly work. Huge studies this summer aim to prove which of several experimental COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. Moderna and Pfizer began tests last week that eventually will include 30,000 volunteers each. In the next few months, equally large calls for volunteers will go out to test shots made by AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, and Novavax. 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Rasa Kay.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Democrats and Republicans remain at odds in ongoing negotiations on a new coronavirus economic relief package, including aid to replace the federal $600 a week boost to unemployment benefits that expired Friday. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on ABC's This Week.
They're subjecting somebody who gets $600 to scrutiny that they won't subject some of the people who are getting millions of dollars in the PPP. So this is about putting workers first.
The White House and Senate Republicans want to trim that additional payment.
Number two.
Airbnb's crackdown on party houses throughout New Jersey in an effort to stem the spread of COVID-19. Nearly three dozen listings have been suspended or removed from the platform after huge gatherings last month linked to new outbreaks among teens and young adults. Also in the Garden State, the Assembly is considering a bill to make failing to wear a mask in stores a disorderly person's offense, punishable by up to a month in jail, a fine of up to $500, or both.
Number three.
Tropical storm Isaias is on the move north toward the Carolinas and expected to make landfall there tonight, causing high winds and potentially dangerous storm surges. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper.
We're asking North Carolinians in the storm's path to make sure they are prepared.
The National Weather Service says dangerously hot conditions are expected to continue because of high pressure over much of Southern California, and that's working against more than 1,300 firefighters battling the raging Apple wildfire in mountains east of Los Angeles.
Lots of oils in it, so when it's going up these canyons, it's creating all that heat because all those oils and those fuels.
That's Captain Richard Cordova with Cal Fire. The Department of Agriculture has issued an alert for several kinds of frozen beef and chicken taquitos and chimichangas that contain diced green chilies and maybe chunks of plastic. The products are sold under Jose Olé, Casa Mamita, and Walmart's Great Value brand. Netflix is letting viewers watch at faster or slower speeds on their phone or tablet with new playback controls. Some movie makers don't like the idea of their art being messed with, but members of the hearing and vision impaired communities are appreciating the new settings, and even those trying to follow the captions in a foreign film, like me.
All right. Thank you, Rasa. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. When New Yorkers began cheering for essential workers back in March, a guy named Scott Hightower joined the raucous daily 7 p.m. chorus, sounding an air horn and shaking a tambourine from his Manhattan apartment. In recent weeks, that chorus has become significantly smaller in tandem with the steady decline of local coronavirus cases. But Mr. Hightower has continued. The Wall Street Journal says in nearly every neighborhood there are equivalents to him, those who somehow didn't get the memo that 7 p.m. was back to just being a time of day. Michael Weaver, a resident of Manhattan's Upper West Side, still blows a horn every night, sticking the nearly 4.5-foot instrument out of his first-floor window. Marco Leinhardt, a resident of Manhattan's Inwood neighborhood, plays the taiko, a Japanese-style drum, from the roof of his building every evening at 7 o'clock. He says he's trying to stay active at a time when his regular gigs have dried up. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Did you know that right now GEICO is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of what GEICO could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more.